For the past three Lord's Days, we've been studying the vitally important subject, that is, the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. We began in our first sermon exposing the theories and arguments of the infidels, refuting them. And then in our second sermon, we looked at the evidence which proved assuredly that Christ was resurrected as we began a study of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as we looked at verses 1 through 11. And then last Lord's Day, in our third sermon, we studied the essentialness of the resurrection, verses 12 through 19, the effect of the resurrection, verses 20 through 28, and the error taught on the baptism of the dead, verse 29. Now we're ready this morning to pick up with verse 30, and we'll study this morning the example of Paul's life in view of the resurrection, and then the exhortation of Paul in view of the resurrection, verses 33 and 34. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. Yes, PFE is a good way to remember that. Now, that's something we should be thinking about every day of our life, because that's the most important thing we can be doing. Now, at this time, we want to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes, and then as we come together to worship God, we strive to do so in a proper attitude, that's in spirit, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern. That would be in truth, John 4:24. And you would be very much welcome to join in with us. Something else to mention, we're always looking forward to having Bible studies. If you're interested in sitting down and opening up God's Word together, just give us a call and we'll set that up at your convenience. And also, if you have Bible questions, they're welcome. Your comments, positive or negative, they're welcome as well. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code, and our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now let's get back to our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're ready to pick up with verse 30 this morning, and we're going to notice the example of Paul's life in view of the resurrection. Beginning in verse 30, "And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." You see Paul's argument here. He endured many trials and tribulations because he was a true follower of Christ, a Christian. Yes, he was also an apostle. And we would ask this question, why should he suffer all these things if Christ was not raised from the dead? Well, let's go over to 2 Corinthians and look at chapter 11 for a moment, verses 23 through 33. "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one," that would be 39. "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep. He's been in the water, in other words. In journeyings, often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings oft, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? I am not weak. Who is offended? I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artaxerxes, the king, kept the city of Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. So we see Paul enduring all these things for the cause of Christ. Yes, he is an example. Yes, of why would one go through all this if the dead rise not? You see, there are a number of examples we can look at in the scriptures of what Paul was talking about there in 2 Corinthians 11, as we just read. Let's go to Acts, the book of Acts, which of course is the history of the church as it began on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem there in Acts chapter 2, and how the church grew and when the gospel was spread. We go to Acts 13, verse 50. You see, Paul would be run out of Antioch of Pisidia, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. Run them out of town. Run them out of the area, better to say. And then go to chapter 14, still in Acts, verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. He was nearly stoned to death. And over in chapter 16, still in Acts, verses 22 and 23, we find, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Paul and Silas were beaten and thrown in jail in Philippi. We know, of course, they were released miraculously, and the Philippian jailer and his family obeyed the gospel because of that. They heard the word, of course, from Paul and Silas. Now, Paul had to slip away from the Thessalonians, from Thessalonica at night, as we go to Acts 17, verse 5, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Well, you see, Paul suffered greatly because he was preaching the gospel of Christ. He was a faithful Christian. Paul did not receive worldly fame and fortune by preaching the gospel. Oh, no. He rather gloried in the conversion of lost souls. Notice now verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 15. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Well, in the American Standard, it has, I protest by that glorifying in you, brethren, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. So Paul is saying, yes, that he was able to glory in the conversion of lost souls. Yes, their rejoicing was Paul's glory in that he was the one who taught them the truth. Yes, and he was in peril. He was dying daily. Of course, he didn't want to go back into the life he formerly was living. No, he was forgiven of his sins, and he was pressing forward, but he also was dying daily because of the perils that he was facing. In 2 Corinthians 4, notice verses 10 and 11. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Galatians 2, now verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Philippians 1, 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now we know what Paul meant when he said, I die daily. Yes, he was crucified with Christ. Christ was living in him. He was bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Now what about us? Let's go to Romans 35 through 39, Paul, the inspired writer. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, nothing should separate our love for God, no matter what happens to us. And certainly God loves us, as he gave his only begotten Son to die for our sins. But again, Paul would be foolish to fight the false philosophers, the beast, as he refers to them in that way, if Christ was not resurrected. Notice verse 32. If after the man of men I have fought with the beast at Ephesus, what advantageth it me? What profit is there? Paul is saying, if the dead rise not, let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. Well, Paul had written 1 Corinthians from Ephesus, this inspired letter, as we see in Acts 19, 8 through 10. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God, that would be the church of Christ. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Gentiles, that would be. You see, Paul was preaching and teaching the precious gospel of Christ. And this enabled those in Asia to hear the word of the Lord Jesus. That's right. All they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of God. Now, the Epicurean motto was, eat, drink, enjoy thyself, the rest is nothing. Well, that reminds us of some of the things we hear today, as this is the same philosophy that many people have, unfortunately. Remember these commercials If it feels good, do it. Grab all the gusto you can get because you only go around once in life. It doesn't get any better than this. Remember those sorry beer commercials? Thinking that was really the best you could have in life. Well, that is a sorry way of thinking. That leaves out heaven, doesn't it? Live it up here on the earth while you can, because tomorrow you die and that's the end of it, dead all over like Rover. Well, that doesn't work for Bible believers, does it? Of course not. Paul fought against prejudices, greed, and sinful practices. He fought against man's false philosophies in order to save men's souls. Love, not anger, was his motivation. Notice with me 1 Corinthians 9, 16 through 23. For though I preach the gospel, Paul, the apostle's words here by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Bob Hawkins, take heed. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law of Moses, that is, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law, to them that are without, that were not under the law of Moses, the patriarchal law, that would be the Gentiles, as without law, being not without law to God, of course, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. You see what Paul's motivation was? It was the love of lost souls. Yes, and that's what we have to understand here. Now, after Paul wrote the first letter to the Corinthians, he continued to encounter opposition. As we go to Acts chapter 19, notice verses 26 through 28. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods, little g, which are made with hands, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Now, Paul was blamed here for the idle craftsman's loss of business. Well, certainly they needed to be put out of business, making idols for people to worship, made with men's hands that could do nothing. It was just only in the mind, superstitions that they were full of. Well, of course, Paul was preaching and teaching the truth to get them away from these idols. Now in 2 Timothy 4, 14 through 17, this may be referring to one of those craftsmen. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengtheneth me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Well, this wasn't an actual lion, was it? But, of course, Satan is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And Paul was in many difficult situations, as we've seen. But he was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. But now in our study, let's go on to verses 33 and 34 with the time that we have left. And we'll notice here the exhortation of Paul in view of the resurrection. Let's read now verses 33 and 34 of 1 Corinthians 15. Be not deceived. Evil communications or companions corrupt good manners. Good morals also is another way to say that. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But Paul is warning the Corinthians, the brethren there at the Church of Christ in Corinth, not to be deceived and to be careful of evil companionships. Yes, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? 2 Corinthians 6:14. And again, that was the Apostle Paul's other letter to the Church of Christ here at Corinth. Now, can we imagine members of the Lord's church listening and being influenced by false worldly philosophers to the point of denying the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Well, this is happening today, sad to say. Some members of the church are denying that all things were created in 6 literal days. Well, they want to compromise, you see, trying to fit evolution into the Bible. Now, that's not going to work. If you go with me now to Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, in the giving of the Ten Commandments, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. Now notice in particular verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now that's days, which we understand as 24-hour periods, not long eons of time. No, sir. Stay with the Bible. Don't compromise the truth. Don't fall for the lies of these folks espousing evolution as fact. They have none. All they have is a hypothesis without proof, without facts. Stay with the Word of God. Let's not be falling for the liberal modernists who want to cast doubt on the virgin birth of Christ, as it was prophesied in Isaiah 7:14, fulfilled in Matthew 1:18-26. Some want to cast doubt on the inspiration of the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction unto righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, mature, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. All good works, we're with the all-sufficiency of the Scriptures, we have the Word of God, and it shall stand forever, Isaiah 48. Yes, the grass shall wither, but the flower is going to fade, but not the Word of God. It shall stand forever. So let's not be swayed by false philosophers. Yes, they were influencing in the first century and they're still doing it today. But let us wake up, as Paul is telling the Corinthians here. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Some did not know God. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. John 17:3. If we have fallen asleep spiritually, we had better wake up. Yes, we need to know God. And to know God, we must know the truth. As Jesus said to those disciples that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. 1 John 2:3, and hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. So let's ask ourselves, are we keeping his commandments? If not, we do not know God in the proper way. But as Christians who know and obey God, our prayers are answered. 1 John 3:22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That's right. We've studied Paul's example and exhortation, as certainly his life was evidence for Christianity, and his exhortation, yes, his warnings, will help make our faith stronger. So, are we willing to endure persecution for the cause of Christ? That's right. Yea, all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We can expect that if we're living faithful. And what about our influence to others? Do we die daily for Christ? Or have we allowed others to influence us? Well, we want to be sure that we're living the faithful Christian life. And if we're not even a Christian, well, we stand ready here at Morgan Street to assist you in obeying the gospel. First, you have to hear the truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Now, the next step, of course, is to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He died for our sins, John 8:24. Once we believe that Jesus is the Christ, we're motivated now to get out of a sinful life, repent, make a change of wills, and do the will of God, Luke 13:3-5. Having repented of our sins, now we're ready to make the good confession, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, Romans 10:9-10. Now we're ready to be immersed, baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16. Yes, we're baptized into the death of Christ, Romans 6:3-5. We rise up out of that watery grave to walk in newness of life, and the Lord adds us to his body, the true church. We thank you so much for listening today.